This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
It's the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 90, sponsored by Jim Hanley's Universe, ComicHole.com, and the Netflix.
I'm Mephistopheles, and you are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. He stands at a branching of three paths. Josh, Connor, and Ron are about to instill the sin of pride in one writer-artist team by selecting their book as the Pick of the Week. They will then discuss that book and many others in detail. If you have already read your books, then indulge. If not, you can either stop listening now, read your books, and return, or not bother and allow my colleague Sloth to take root in your soul and lead you on the path to eternal damnation. The choice is yours.
Huh. Well, that's marks the return of our fan-submitted intros, so we thank
Ivy from Brooklyn.
For,
so that wasn't actually Mephistopheles?
Channeling Mephistopheles.
You've never said that. You've never said that out loud, have you?
No, I haven't actually. I want to say Mephisto, but that's not. That's the Marvel devil.
Yeah.
I thought that's what. Oh, you know what? That's what I thought it was supposed to be.
No. That's actually Satan.
Ooh.
Yeah. Fascinating. So anyway, so I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. We have to get moving. Apparently,
yeah, we got a big show today.
Well, they already did that part. So
I'm going to take it away.
Talk.
It's my pick. Yeah. So. It's been, it's been the past couple of weeks have been heavy weeks. I think we're on agreement. We've all purchased a lot of books, haven't we?
Sorry, my mind got dirty.
Nice, good work.
Back.
And the past couple of weeks have been stellar. I've been very jealous that you guys have had the pick of the week.
Right.
So when I had my stack of 15 books, almost $50 of the comics, I was very excited. And I thought this week let me down a little. And ultimately,
you're crazy.
I might be crazy, but we'll get into that.
For me, hits and misses. Some are really good, some are really
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. And don't get me wrong, there have been times where we've been like, wow, nothing good came out, so I guess I'll pick this one.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time making the pick, but once I kind of really thought about it, and I realized the order number one was actually the book that I actually walked away from with the most excitement level about, and that was actually very good in my mind. So that ended up being the pick. And so the order was is written by Matt Fraction, drawn by Barry Kitson, and published by Marvel. And this is the book that was originally supposed to be The Champions, the resurrection of the late 70s team title from Marvel, that the old Champions featured Hercules and Ghost Rider and Angel, and it was a very odd mishmash of characters and never actually made sense. But
it was like The Defenders, but something else.
Like The Champions. It
was like a rip-off of The Defenders, which were a rip-off of the Avengers.
Yeah, but And basically the high concept that, that Fraction has come up with, and I'm not sure whether he came up with it or Marvel gave it to him, or I imagine he came up with a large part of it, but it's the idea that this is the California team, part of the initiative, part of the Avengers initiative that Tony Stark has started. And what it is that they are they're putting teams in every state, apparently. And for some reason, this California team is being run similar to the example Fraction gave, was like a baseball team, where they've got these roles that they're going to fill in, and that if you screw up, you get kicked off the team, and that sort of thing. So we get introduced to the team, and it's led by the former actor who played Iron Man on TV.
Isn't that a little weird?
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird. Who apparently happens to be an alcoholic and was Tony's first sponsor when he joined AA.
Because the thing is, all these people from the teams are not superheroes who had to register. They're regular people.
It's kind of like Everyman Project, kind of like Luthor 52.
Yeah, I was like, that's a new thing. They're not. The government is now doing that.
We were introduced to that in Civil War #6. Remember when Hank Pym they were training the new team members?
No, I don't remember.
That's been put out of our brains.
It was in Civil War #6. So so we get introduced to this team, and the reason why I really liked this was, and what kind of dawned on me as I was thinking about it, was that if you took away Iron Man in this issue, and you took away the Initiative, and this was just a superhero book published by, you know, Dark Horse or Boom Studios or Image or something like that, I feel like we'd be like, did you read the order? Like, this is a great, you know, kind of take on the genre that we've been reading on and stuff like that. And even the look of it, like it doesn't look like a Marvel comic, and it kind of ties.
Barry Kitson's a very not Marvel artist,
exactly.
DC artist,
and this is part of the Barry Kitson kind of revelation that we've had recently, where he, you know, like I knew he was good. He's one of those names out there, but the art in this was freaking awesome. It was really, really good. And so what struck me is that, like, wow, this could be an indie superhero book as opposed to just being a Marvel superhero book. And then also tied in with the fact that in Marvel these days we don't get very, very many new characters. You know, the Runaways is a bit of an exception. They were brand new characters that were just introduced that seemed to be successful. We might get a new X-Men here and there.
Yeah, but they came out
new X-Men all new.
Yeah, they are all new characters, but new characters in Marvel is somewhat...
They don't stick.
They don't stick.
Runaways came from a whole line of new characters. Only Runaways
stuck,
the rest of them
went away. Yeah. So new characters don't tend to stick, and so I'm kind of, you know, the only character that's from the only ongoing character that's from the Marvel Universe proper is Pepper Potts, who is Iron Man's old secretary, who now apparently is like the Oracle and Oracle character from the JLA thing, and leads the team from a room with computers and stuff like that. But, you know, admittedly, it's not, you know, it's nothing the, you know, conceptually innovative. It's nothing, you know, it's playing on the whole kind of Greek gods theme of a team that Morrison did with the JLA, and it's playing off of the corporate team.
I can't help but notice that everything about this book is playing off something that's already happened in a DC book.
Right. That's actually a good point. But
with one of DC's premier historically best artists.
But for me, it just kind of felt like a little bit refreshing. It was a little bit off, you know, off the beaten path almost, you know, and so I was, you know, I enjoyed it. So,
mm-hmm.
So,
I disagree with almost everything you've said.
All right.
I picked it up because I thought, maybe it wasn't. You know, I wasn't. I didn't think it was going to be bad. The other thing is, I didn't want another book. I was like, I just don't want another superhero team book. Mm-hmm. And you know, unfortunately, reading through this for me, I felt like I was like, oh, it was really, really basic. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really normal, and I wasn't excited by it. I think if I had picked this up and it had been a Dark Horse book, I would have not bought it again. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought Barry Kitson's art... You did make a point about it in your review, where you said the superhero stuff was, you know, good and normal and whatever, but the bits without them being superheroes were good. I agree with that entirely. Yeah. I think that he got these people's faces. This guy's like... He's like such a classic comic book.
Yeah. The combination of the faces as well as actually the backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic artist. That's not at all a question. He's really good.
And there were bits of it that I liked. I really liked the going back and forth between... I don't know his name. The main guy.
Anthem.
Anthem, whatever. Going back and forth between the AA meeting in his head. I really enjoyed that stuff.
Yeah.
The super team banter fighty stuff, I was just like, oh, it's this. And I really have seen it so many times, and this didn't bring anything new for me. And this is maybe a case of, you know, you like stuff that feels like...
Yeah, I mean,
you really liked, and I don't.
It could be, and it was partially, you know, kind of being separated from the continuity, like mm-hmm. being in Marvel, but also being not attached to anything that's so heavy kind of read day in and day out, and just kind of a little bit of a breath of fresh air in that regard.
See, there was me. It was just exceedingly average.
I read his copy when he got it, and it wasn't bad. It also wasn't good for me. So I finished it, and I was like, well, that happened. Right. You know, like I didn't like it. I didn't love it. I've already read this here, and I've already read this here, and I've already read this here, and I don't really personally connect with Matt Fraction's writing. So there was the Matt Fraction-y stuff that I didn't like. And
I didn't pick up.
You
on
know
that
what?
I felt that
a lot of that wacky stuff that he's known for, I felt that was toned down, and that was actually one of the things that I was like, at least if it had that, it would have a bit of more of an edge.
Yeah,
to it.
It was very bland, like very vanilla.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, one of the main thrusts was just the beautifulness of.
Yeah, no, it was a great looking book.
And then the other aspect of it that at least that what I see is I just if this is given legs to run with, I see potential in the concept. I see potential in the platform to get towards something different in the Marvel.
It's one of those things is that when you have a first issue with something new in superheroes, it goes one of two ways usually. Usually it starts off slow and it takes a little while, and then eventually like it figures out what it is. And it's very true that a new superhero comic needs to be given time, just like a network sitcom or whatever, to become what it is. And then the other one is, wow, that was a great first issue, and four issues later, you hate it.
Right.
And, you know, sort of how I feel about Warren Ellis' Thunderbolts at this point.
Yeah.
And so it absolutely, for me, could get more interesting when he figures out. I really think that Fraction is still working out how to be really good at writing these comic books. I don't think he's there yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, you take Dan Slott. Yeah. Dan Slott's a guy who's just finding his legs in this stuff now, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not really interested in keeping reading it, though.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I mean, and admittedly, like I said, part of it also was that there was a lot of stuff that I thought would have come in before this that, for whatever reason, didn't do it for me.
Really quickly, before you go on to the next thing, the last point I have is, as great as the art is, and I don't know if this is a plus or a minus, it doesn't look like a Marvel book. The character designs are not Marvel.
Right, that's
and I don't know if that's a plus or a minus, but for me it was just weird because, like, I'm looking at the spread of the team right now, and they don't look like Marvel characters. They look like something Crossing would have put out, or Dark Horse.
Or almost Ultimate-y. The pattern on the...
Well, they've all got the patterns, but it's just the designs don't look dynamic. They look like something like... you know, it looks like an image.
Well, that kind of actually makes sense if you think about it, because what it is a, it's like a mass market superhero team.
Right.
So chances are, like, they wouldn't have great, because they've got to go through things so fast. I really feel like, I feel like I just read this in 52, this concept.
Well, admittedly, like we said, the everyman kind of thing.
No, but even the way that the team, it was the same thing.
Well, I more I think about it, the more I understand how kind of predictable the unpredictableness of it was. But I was impressed by the fact that we spent half the issue meeting a new team,
getting
introduced, and then they screw up and they get fired, and then we get a whole brand new team in one issue. You know what
but
I mean?
That maybe maybe that would have been even better if they'd wait and let you know those people a little more, then have them screw up. I mean, I don't know if you consider that a waste of time or not.
Yeah, well, but I also could have seen dragging out over 4 issues would have been annoying. You know, I mean, go either way.
Well, that actually brings it down to, you know, when you say things like, is it written for the trade or written for the single issue?
Right.
That's a really good example of, you could write it for the trade in one way, or you could write it for the single issue in this way.
That's definitely a single issue. Yeah.
Okay.
Ultimate Spider-Man 111 was Mark Bagley's final issue, and this was
in the running.
Which cover did everybody get?
Oh, I got
the Bagley cover.
I got the first one that was on the
rack. I got the Eminem cover.
I didn't even know there were separate
covers. The Bagley cover and Eminem cover.
Okay. I was really excited for this, and I thought this was definitely in the running. But it was actually kind of funny when I read it. What happened was is that I was so excited to see I was curious to see how the art influx would be, is that I looked in the beginning and I saw, okay, he's talking to Aunt May, and I flipped to the back, and I was driving when I was doing this, so I'm like in traffic.
Nice.
And so I looked at the last couple pages, and I said, I'm like, oh, fucking A, Eminem's just kind of, he's making him look like Bagley's doing it. and then I flipped through in disbelief, and I saw what they did, and I actually was disappointed with the integration of the two artists.
Really?
I didn't like how
the flashback was by Eminem.
The flashback was by Eminem, and it was done. It was done in the Powers or Strangers in Paradise kind of dialogue down the side.
He did this in Alias.
I'm sorry, Alias. That's what I meant. The Alias down the side, and then you know, like, I was looking for something a little more innovative in terms of the integration of the two artists and that kind of. But don't get me wrong, by the end of the issue, I was a little sniffly.
It would have made more sense to swap the artists.
Yeah.
To have Bagley be the flashback.
Yeah, that probably that's a good point. Yeah.
But I liked it. I thought it was good. It was good.
It just didn't meet my expectations.
Right.
I wasn't in the least disappointed. I really enjoyed it. I thought that this was written with so much heart. It was literally coming off the page.
Yeah. Well, I said I was a little sniffly at the end.
I think that like you couldn't have read this for 111 issues and not felt the sincerity of those pages. I think the conversation that was taking place in the dialogue to the side was fantastically well scripted. I mean, you want to talk about a character voice and understanding what they're feeling. I thought one thing that he did so well is when he's like, well, then they hit you? Like, and you start to think about it. Like, he gets beaten up and thrown around, and his spider powers don't have anything to do with pain resistance or, you know, whatever. Like,
well, he's tougher.
Maybe, but still, like, if you just think about what that means.
No, you're seeing him for the first time through his aunt's eyes.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
There was a couple of lines where she said something and he repeated it, or he said like the repeating, and I was like, and part of me kind of stopped and looked at it, but then I like thought about it in my head. I'm like, that's how that conversation would go.
Well, that's
like,
how he writes. He always has.
Like, right? Yeah. No. But actually, this is one of the few times that I was absolutely
thrilled with this. I really enjoyed this issue.
And you're thrilled for another reason, because you don't like Mark Bagley.
I don't not like Mark Bagley.
No,
but
you're
Bagley.
You're the president of the Bagley Hating Society.
I think he does this book really well. I think that his art tends to look kind of flat to me sometimes, and I think that if you look in comparison to the pages that show up with Immonen, you can see it. It's right there on the page. I'm really excited about the Immonen stuff.
It's going to be really weird.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I think
whether
you like it or not, it's got to be, after 111 issues, it's going to be strange to enter back into this universe and have it look completely different.
Well, that's the thing, is that looking at the Immonen pages, it looks like Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Ultimate.
It'll be like Second Becky on Roseanne. Like, at first, it won't make sense, and then after.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be bad. It's just going to be odd.
I really like it.
It was good. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't, but I was a little deflated on it. That's all. So, and it's completely because of my high expectations.
Now, you're crazy if you didn't pick All Flash number one as the pick of the week.
I know. Well, let's see.
Did you get Sienkiewicz?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I want to see it.
That's a good point.
We got two covers again now. One is Josh Middleton, one is Sienkiewicz, who's a legendary artist.
I sought out the Sienkiewicz cover, and I got home, and I went, that happened.
I had heard about the Sienkiewicz cover ahead of time, and I had meant to look, and I forgot, and I got into the store, and I was like, oh, that one's ugly, I want this one.
Yeah.
And I bought the Josh Middleton cover.
The Sienkiewicz cover, if you go online, go find it, take a look at it, but it's the Flash running with hemorrhoids. I mean, it's like, he's like, I'm running! It hurts! And the Middleton cover looks really dynamic and great. And actually, the Middleton cover plays into the inside of it.
Yeah.
So now, I love the Flash. The Flash is my premier DC character. I love Mark Waid on the Flash. Mm-hmm. This completely threw me for a loop. And I was very disappointed. Not that it was bad, but I was disappointed.
He's loving average books. He's hating other books.
Connor, you start... This was great. All right, the story in this is that Wally West is now back alive. He has just learned that Bart is dead, and he is seeking out the killer. While we learn about him finding out about the murder and him coming back. And it's basically an overview for people not familiar with what's been going on with Flash or not familiar with Wally West. It's a really, here's where we are, here's where we're going, here's who the main character is type of issue, while also wrapping up the last storyline. And there's a bunch of rotating. There's a bunch of artists. There's how many? Four artists. How many?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven artists.
And at this point, let me say, they need to make Carl Kerschel the artist on Flash.
And that's my. Here's the problem I have with this issue: is that when the solicit went out, I saw a preview, and it was the first three pages.
Mm-hmm.
First three pages.
Right.
Three pages. And it was the Carl Kerschel, the Flash, you know, Wally's back. But and when Kerschel did a fill-in on the previous
Flash
run,
I remember I was like, this is
brilliant. This is
the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so when I turned the page to page four, it was like, it stopped me in my tracks, and it took me out of the story.
That's a DC thing. DC, when they have big issues,
they
always do this.
Put the artist up.
They always do that.
It doesn't matter. The fact that part of it is that I didn't read the I never read the thing until afterwards. I don't read the credits until afterwards, and I didn't know. I thought it was a complete Carl Kerschel story, and it completely stopped me. You wouldn't have bought it anyway. Of course I bought it. No. But had I known, what I'm saying is that I didn't expect it.
Oh well, I saw it in the beginning because I was like, who are these people?
And, Yeah, no,
You don't read the credits?
No, I go back after I read the issue, and then I go back to see who did what and stuff like that.
No, we
both determined we read things differently.
I didn't think it was any secret that this was going to be an all-star wrap-up with a bunch of different artists issue.
Oh, no, I didn't. I completely did not expect the other artists, and so when it went off of Kershaw, all I wanted was Kershaw. And admittedly, Kershaw does the majority of the book,
yeah.
And it was brilliant and beautiful, but like the change in artists is what took me out of the thing. And then also, I thought it was a little too clean. Like, it just kind of wrapped up very quickly. It's like he came back and he got the kid.
Well, he is the Flash.
Yeah, true. Good point. But, it didn't feel very deep. I'm saying that the
it was too clean and that he wrapped it up too quickly. It was all in a bow.
Yeah.
But they have to do that because they're wrapping up Bart's story. Bart's story is over. Next month starts Wally again.
I understand.
It's got to end. I mean, it's got to
do it. I understand.
And I didn't think it was too... It wasn't deep. I mean, you could see you could feel the pain in Wally. And then what he does to the kid is slightly awful.
It is. Yeah, I thought
that.
Well,
my question was, how does he... I know he's slowing down, but doesn't he have to eat, like, in 100 years or something like that?
No. He's slowed down to, like...
Right, yeah.
His body's not burning any fuel, so he's
not doing anything. Yeah, it's in suspended animation.
But just, the whole page of the other rogues, just how, you know, like, well, if other people find him, they'll find him, you know? And, like, you know, it's still fucking Captain Cold and the top guy and stuff like that. These are, like, some of his main rogues.
Yeah.
And he's just not worried about them?
Well...
Like, it just felt a little too quick for me, that's all. You know, like, and I understand what it's doing. This is a one issue gap to get
them
the next.
No, but he said this is the only way they'll stay out of my reach is if someone finds them first.
Right,
he's going to get them.
Right. Well, or not. But he's showing other people getting to him first. Right. So he's like,
they did. They got Checkmate and the Outsiders got him first.
No, I know. But so I don't know. I mean, the thing is that I love to have Wade back, and it was great, and the scenes with Iris were fantastic, and the little hint of the future in her eye was a nice touch. And,
yeah, you know, that was well done.
And I love the JSA style preview of what's to come, you know, towards the end, which is
that's not what's to come. This is the future.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what's to come.
Right, but it's not going to come in the book.
No, I know, but it's someday. Right. Yeah. You know.
So who's the regular artist on the book? Do you know?
Daniel Acuna from Justice Green Lantern.
Really?
Yeah.
I really liked him on Green Lantern, but after looking at the Carl Kershaw stuff, why don't they hire him? Does he not want to do it?
I don't know.
Is this a Batman suit coming out of a ring?
Yes.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So, anyway, whatever. I mean, like, I did not like it. I mean, I still enjoyed it. I love to have Wally back, and, you know, my favorite Flash. I love to have Wade back on it. It's just that I really liked Kershaw.
I
really thought it would be
I think those kind of transition issues are really hard to hit 100% because there's so much, like, because you know what the end point is, and so the story doesn't necessarily get to evolve organically.
Don't get me wrong. Had it been Kershaw for the whole issue, it would have been an epic comic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't.
And that's where personally I become a victim of my own expectations.
Right.
Because that's what I wanted.
Right.
And I don't feel as if I got it.
So we're continuing on with our week of complete and utter discordance among our thoughts.
Well, in terms of
I think we're going to go all the way through like this. This would be awesome.
In terms of expectations.
Until we get to here.
Now we can't get one that says, you guys all think that, because not once.
Well, in terms of expectations, I bought 3 books associated with World War Hulk. And when I sat down my stack, I said, I'm going to be sick of Hulk punching things.
Were you?
And no, I loved every page. So I bought World War Hulk number 2, I bought the Avengers the Initiative, and I bought World War Hulk X-Men.
I'm shocked. I said this when World War Hulk came out.
Yep.
I'm looking at the Hulk as a big, dumb summer movie.
Yep.
And I'm just going to ride it out and enjoy it for what it is. If I think about it too hard, it sucks.
Yep.
And I have already thought about it too hard than I want to because I've already seen the things that suck about it.
It doesn't help that you have me yelling at you.
All day long.
Really?
All day long.
I was having a hard time.
He really doesn't like this. But I'm enjoying it for what it is. It's stupid. There's no logic to most of what happens. They're painting themselves into a corner that there's no way that I'll be shocked if they get out of it in a satisfying way. That looks good.
I just showed him the Maleev Halo page.
All right, let's stay on topic.
All right,
but like the art's really good. It's an exciting book, but you know.
Well, so now what we got is issue 2 of World War Hulk. Hulk is in New York. They've evacuated all 8 million people of New York, and now all that's supposedly all left.
Well,
except
for the people that wanted to stay.
I'm so mad, but I'll give you 24 hours.
And apparently, all that's left is the heroes and the Hulk and his warbound. And so they take on the first wave of heroes,
right?
And then he fights the Fantastic Four,
She-Hulk, and Thing. And
yeah.
Problem.
Talk about what you like.
Yeah,
because I have some points.
I think it was the art.
The art's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good
Thing fight was fantastic.
The art was better than the last issue, which was kind of middling.
Yeah, well, I still think that if you look at the guy who inked Romita on the Eternals, Danny Mickey, the Jansen art ink stuff, but they meshed better this time than the last issue, definitely.
Did Jansen not do the Eternals? I thought Jansen did the Eternals.
No, Danny Mickey did
the
Eternals.
Oh, interesting. Fascinating. But
he's getting better with each issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I liked it purely for the points that you made, Connor, that it's a fun romp and it's Hulk smashing and people fighting and stuff.
Before you get into your long thing, which I've heard already, I know it's long, so I'm going to wait for a second.
It's long, we don't have a lot of time.
This is the least scary Hulk and crew. Like, we were promised this, they were coming for blood, right? Yeah. They're coming down and he's on a bow of a ship and they're all angry and they're going to get revenge for the whole planet. And, it's like me coming to you and I'm going to kill you, Ron, and I punch you once and that's all right. Like, he's not actually coming for blood.
I don't know about that. I thought he pretty much kicked ass wherever he came.
Okay. This story has no consequences. We know exactly how it's going to end. If he's the angriest and maddest and most rageful he's ever going to be, this is the plot for World War Hulk. Superhero comes up and says, "No, Hulk," and then there's a bunch of smoke, and then in the end he holds the lifeless body. But it's not really lifeless because he doesn't kill them, because apparently he's got enough control for that. A, this should have been Rageful Hulk. This shouldn't be Gladiator Hulk or whatever. He's too smart. It's not mad. And then so what we do now is, okay, this started off on a bad foot for me, because the very first thing they do is sacrifice Black Bolt. Black Bolt, who they've been building up for years to be one of the most powerful, like, top-of-the-tier characters in Marvel. And he's taken out in two pages
like
in the first
bitch.
Issue.
And off camera.
And so then, like, the next issue is She-Hulk. And there's some smoke goes, and then, oh, he took her down. And then the Thing. And some smoke goes. And this is all this is to me. This is not a story. And I'm looking at it, I go, I have three more issues of this to have everything end in the status quo? F that. And we know how it's going to end. It's going to be the friggin' Sentry. And this is pissing me off too, because what we've got is Marvel trying to convince us that Sentry matters, and no one thinks the Sentry matters.
Right, yeah.
They're trying to say that no, Sentry is the Superman of the Marvel Universe, and he's not, because he has no history, he has no legacy,
and apparently he has a lakeside house.
No one likes him.
When did that happen?
He's not a good realtor.
Like, they're going to shoehorn the idea that the Sentry, and it's just like, this issue to me was like, okay, there's a fight at the beginning and a fight at the, and there's no stakes for me.
Yeah, I
at
can
all?
See that. I can see that.
You know where this issue turned for me was he finally gets his hands on Reed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Reed is like the mastermind. Tony's number one. Reed's 1A.
Yeah.
He hates those two more than any of them.
Yeah.
He finally gets his hands on Reed. Reed's still breathing at the end.
I don't understand why everybody's like, this was a great fight. It's two pages of splash pages of people.
No,
but there's nothing interesting about
fight.
The fight. I mean, you're right. It's good looking, fine, but I want a story, for God's sakes. And this is my fault. You said you thought about it too hard. I guess I'm thinking about it too hard, and this is why I'd never like the Hulk. It's because there's no, I,
well,
there's
that's,
no
I think that's,
stakes.
I think that's opposite, because the Hulk's usually all stakes. This is
I
unusual
guess.
Because
well,
there's
I mean,
usually
I mean, the point for me with the Hulk is that the Hulk has always been it's been the intelligence and the morals and the balance of Bruce Banner, combined with the rageful.
Bruce
of the Hulk.
Wayne doesn't have anything to do with this, apparently.
Bruce
well,
Banner,
sort of.
Bruce
that's
Wayne.
What I meant.
I know. And that in this case, Banner is completely gone, and it's he's so repressed, and it's just this gladiator style Hulk who just.
But
he's not angry. He's completely irrational.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. No. Exactly. But the thing is that what they're trying to do is they're trying to chill, by using the She-Hulk, by using Rick Jones, by using the point of the Sentry and stuff like that. They're trying to chisel at whatever weaknesses he has. And I guess what's happening is that he's not falling for it. But then he's not falling for it, and he's just kind of, like you said, flicking him aside, and then moving on to the next
challenge.
But
it's been two issues of that, and then there's been no escalation. It's like, next, flink, flink, flink. Oh, look, they're lying limp by my side. Then the last page of this is a supposed cliffhanger where mortal old man Thunderbolt Ross with a bunch of helicopters. How many times has the Hulk beaten that over the years? Yeah. Like, where's this? Is that supposed to, like? You need to raise the stakes.
Yeah.
Black Bolt should have been at the end.
Well, that's because you're because you're
no,
no,
no.
But
I mean,
been,
there's a certain degree.
Black
that,
Bolt's
no, the thing is, I know they've been building a Black Bolt. To a certain degree, Black Bolt doesn't matter in the Marvel universe because he's always kind of off to the side, and I'm not surprised they did that.
But story wise, if they had waited to the, even, I don't care if he beats him or not. I don't have a problem with that. But if they had waited to the end to be like, like, he just beat the army, and then he beat, like, you've got this, the challenges have got to be...
They've got to increase.
Like, and they're not. Game. It's like a video game. Yeah. It's like, here's this boss, and they're all as hard. And then this boss is Thunderbolt Ross and some helicopters?
Yeah.
Who thinks that they're going to have a chance? So what's the...
Well, we'll see. I mean, but so then that said, did you like Avengers The Initiative?
Eh, I can take it or leave it.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of an in-between, you know,
yeah.
What's it?
The word on the streets, that's heading down.
Well, the art, well, the art is just getting worse and worse. Not worse and worse, I just, or me liking less and less. But the concept of putting it in the back, what I do like is the integration into the greater story, you know, where it exists within Hulk, but it's not integral to it, and, you know, that kind of deal.
I can say, this has been, for me, this is the most interesting part of World War Hulk, because this is what's going on in the background,
right.
People who have to deal with it. I really like that. I don't know that I liked so much that they made Hardball into, like, it was my fault, I inadvertently ruined the whole thing, which,
right.
I don't know, felt like it wasn't real, but it fit, it did not make sense, it was logical. Where'd Thor Girl come from?
She's been around.
Yeah, but she hasn't been, like, I saw this on the boards,
She-Hulk.
Too.
She's
people. I know, but, like, yeah. She's been on this team the whole time, it's the fourth issue, it's the first time they've
yeah,
been, like,
well, yeah.
there's whatever.
But so then, but also I read World War Hulk X-Men, which was just Hulk versus the X-Men, which was just like you said, stupid, mindless fun,
mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, luckily it's only three issues and runs two or three, so this is, you
know,
like,
so, the problem is how much, I think I can handle it because I'm only buying Hulk and World War Hulk. I don't know how many issues of that can there be, though?
Yeah, no, I mean,
this could have been a 48-page...
special,
yeah, yeah. And
like, I could see that.
Five issues of World War Hulk.
Yeah.
I really don't know if I'm gonna buy the next one.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I can definitely see that point. But the thing is, we're, you know, and it's completely grown up in Marvel and grown up with the Hulk and stuff. Like, I mean, like as a kid, I had a little Hulk cup that I drank out of most of the time, stuff like that. Like, it's just fun, you know. Like,
the thing is,
the Transformers.
Like this isn't the
yeah,
Hulk.
It is.
This isn't the Hulk though. That was. I mean, if it was angry, not able to speak Hulk, that'd be fun.
But you couldn't get to where you are with angry.
But when you think
to...
about
yeah, you
the...
can. He's not
no.
doing anything.
No, I would love it. I think if he devolved into it a little more and went
yeah.
after his guys,
yeah.
and
yeah.
just like something has to change, something has to
yeah.
go. And like if you think about when you think about Rage, look at the Hulk movie. You know, like, and I know that wasn't the greatest movie. He was angry.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
like, and I was like, that's mad. So
yeah.
Don't send me letters about it. I'm not going to like it, and your rage is...
Justice League of America number 11 was also my co-pick of the week.
Really? Well,
yes.
And here we are, disagreeing with everything. Did I miss issue number 10?
No.
Okay, because I opened this issue, and I was lost.
This is a one-shot. Issue 10 was the end of the Lightning Saga.
Right, and so how did... So it opens up with Roy and...
It's not continuing. It's a one-shot. You're just getting an adventure.
Oh, need to be told where the door is, how to walk through it, and
no,
where to go out the other side?
How did the Watergate Hotel fall on them?
It doesn't make... It's not
it's
important.
It's not the point.
The important part is the character interaction.
Right.
It's a character study, and it's like, this is... You're in it, and this
no,
is what they're like.
Don't get me wrong. It was really great to read. It was really good.
Uh-huh.
It just... I didn't... The setup... Admittedly, I needed to be handed a little more in the setup because it, you know.
Well, the setup is there's two people trapped in their building. That's,
right, which,
that's
what
all
I got after a while.
That's all
you know,
is.
And you've
yeah.
read superhero comics enough to go, well, there's a reason that could happen.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That, and that's not
that,
why.
The only thing
important.
Was that for a moment I got scared and thought I missed an issue. That's all I'll say.
No, this issue, the next one, and I think the one
yeah.
after that, or just the next one, are one shots.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
They're not
going to
be connected, so just get that ready for the next
one. Yeah.
Month.
That, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I'm not as steeped in it.
This was.
Awesome.
Yeah. Other than that, it was great. Yeah.
We're in the shop, and Connor hands it to me, points at Gene Ha's name, and then
yeah.
opens up the middle, and I was like,
yeah.
"Hallelujah!" I mean,
it was good.
Oh,
I can concede that it was, and the layouts were amazing.
He's getting
yeah.
better.
Yeah.
And
Gene Ha,
just
yeah.
it just Gene Ha, like I don't.
Can you imagine Gene Ha been drawing this whole series?
Oh
from
my
the beginning?
God! Mm-hmm. I mean, like the guy. I mean, like this is Maliv. Sort of level of really good. Everything had a feeling. I felt like it was closing in on me. I noticed somebody told me later that like the panels got smaller and smaller
yeah.
and I hadn't realized it.
Oh yeah, no.
But like I felt it as I was reading
it's very
it.
Very claustrophobic.
Oh.
Oh yeah. I mean that's what I say. And the layouts were as integral to the as the art was. I thought it was
they were so yeah. textural and they were
yep.
beaten up and
yep.
God, they made me care a little about Marie, you know, which, you know,
yeah.
it was difficult, although I liked her in Animal Man.
Yeah. And the spinning page was
yeah,
great. You know, like the flip around. Yeah,
did a really good job of really putting you in the collapsed building and caring about the characters a lot of people don't care about. And you really, I was starting to get worried. I mean, you know they're going to come out, but
yeah.
still, you started to get tense. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm claustrophobic, but
and this is also another really good example of saying, well, we have this medium of the comic book. Let's you know, let's try something else with it, which is something Bendis does a lot. But Meltzer, no, because Meltzer worships at the altar of Silver Age comics. So to see him do this, yeah, it's like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. No, I other than just being disoriented, which I think was probably the point,
right,
and not knowing what to expect, whatever, that the execution and everything was just
the
great.
Writing and it was very, spectacular.
Very good. All right, cool. But so if you didn't get Justice League of America, you know where you can pick it up? You can pick it up at Jim Hanley's Universe. Jim Hanley's Universe is one of the best and most progressive comic book stores around. They've got a great selection of comic titles and comic merchandise. They've got stuff from the mainstream comics to the manga to the minis to the indie stuff. Jim Hanley's Universe has it all. So next time you're in New York City, go to the place where art and literature meet at Jim Hanley's Universe. They got two locations. They're located, the first one's, or one of them is located in Manhattan, right across the street from the Empire State Building on 33rd Street. And the other one's on Staten Island at 325 New Dorp Lane. And if you're online, head over to jhuniverse.com or head over to their MySpace page at myspace.com/Jim Hanley's Universe, all one word, and be their friend. And they're
awesome. Go friend them.
Yeah, go friend them, and it's an awesome place to shop. And
if you can't get to the city, but you've been looking for something that's hard to find, something rare, something indie that you can't find in your area, they've got everything, and they will send it to you. Just call them or write an email. They will take care of you.
Yes.
Okay, so those so many books is literally when I sat down to read them, when your stack is heavy, you're in for a long night.
Yeah, it takes up a discernible space in the bag.
Yeah, you're in for a long night.
So there's a couple that we didn't want to get too in depth about, but we wanted to quickly discuss. So let's dive right into Checkmate number 16.
It was great.
It was great again, but I was just laughing because it was just like after the horrific events of the crossover, and I was like, oh well, she got better. In terms of Sasha, and they explain it that the nanobots heal her and stuff like that, but it was, again...
She was getting better as she was getting tortured.
Right.
I
don't know anything about this character. I don't know her from either.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's happened to her since she was in Detective Comics, but, like, her body is healing.
Yeah.
Her body is healing. But what about her soul?
So, yeah, no, but I thought it was great.
The bad stuff was great. I thought the stuff with Fire and Ice, which was, if you read Justice League, was great. And then... I just love this book.
I am turning into a Mr. Terrific fan.
Isn't he great? Yeah.
I love Mr. Terrific. Yeah. I want him to have a book, or I want him to be. I'm so glad that he's in two right now. Yeah. I'm very happy about it. Although it is my tiniest little thing in the world, Dr. Midnight's Owl is really throwing me off.
Yeah,
it's just like just always looks out of place. It's all puffed up and stuff.
So Checkmate was great.
Checkmate 16. Captain America 28.
Initially, I didn't want to talk about Captain America on the show, but I didn't think that we could avoid it. But because I wasn't that excited by this book, I thought it was kind of filler.
Really?
I thought it was kind of lame to build up the letter and then leave us on a cliffhanger. Although I do love the cliffhangers, but like, I feel as if the Captain America ever since the shooting of Cap, it's been good. Not so good. Good. Not so. You know. This is
like
the
Star Trek movies.
Star Trek movies. Exactly.
I think there's a really case of reading it in issues versus trades. Unfortunately, I think it's being written as a long story.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And just because I had read the first half of the series in trades, and it reads really well like that, and it is a little more stop-starty here.
Yeah.
Well, I think that maybe is that a consequence of the different chaptering he's doing now, with like every two pages or so, it's a different.
Yeah, it could
chapter.
Be. I don't know. I felt as if nothing really. Stuff happened, but stuff also didn't happen. So I don't know. And of course, I really want to know what's in that letter.
Well, I mean, that's what gets you reading.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Here's who killed Cap. Here's what happened with Karen. And here's what's in the letter. Yeah. All in one issue.
Yeah.
Don't ever read anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, whatever.
The letter was a great scene, though.
It was a good scene.
Yeah, I know. How bad do you want to know?
I just want Tony to start drinking.
Yeah.
I want him to spiral to the bottom from this. Don't you think he should?
Yeah. I love this
book. There's nowhere for it to go.
No, and don't get me wrong. Again, it was good, but I just felt as if it was. Mm-hmm. It didn't have this like last issue. I thought was awesome. Lights out, great. Yeah. Whatever. A couple of weeks ago, we were joking about when the last Shazam issue was going to come out.
Shazam, the Monster Society of Evil.
Yeah, so it finally came out.
Josh decided not to buy it.
I was in the store and I went, you know what? $6. I didn't like the last two. Woohoo! Apparently, I won.
It was awful.
I didn't.
Let me preface that. Let me be more specific. Overall. The miniseries was not good.
Yes.
This issue itself was better than the last
yes,
two.
Yes, that's exactly what I would say. Yes.
This issue was not as good as the first one, but not as bad as the middle two. But overall, the series was a big waste of time.
I agree.
Which is a shame because this is my first exposure to Jeff Smith.
Oh, you never read it. Oh, no,
and it makes
don't,
me
don't,
not
no.
want to pick
no.
a bone.
No, don't. Trust us. Don't.
No.
Don't.
Yeah. Right. And you know what? His next project is coming out, too. I mean, you should
get on that.
You know
what's the disappointing thing about this is it was announced in 2001, was
yeah.
it? 2001 at the
2003.
Con? 2003. Three? So, all right, so 4 years in the making.
And he had three of them done, and then the last one not.
I didn't feel like the art was, like... He's really good at drawing the kids and the animals, but the Captain Marvel stuff like was very stiff.
Yeah.
The big double-page splash where he's punching the monster is kind of like he's going, hello, I'm standing here, and I'm going to tap you with my fist. Like,
yeah.
It just overall, I didn't know what the point was. I didn't quite understand what the story was.
Admittedly, it was a letdown, but I enjoyed this issue more than
like,
the last one.
Like was it for kids or was it for adults? It was sort of straddled the line and didn't really. Did you disagree or no?
What? No, yeah. I think you're very accurate. Matt. Right. Yeah.
I don't feel like I need to finish it, which is kind of interesting.
I would like my
$18 back.
So I giggled in the store when I saw a supervillain team up MODOK's 11.
Yeah, I always thought there was no way you were going to not buy that.
And I wish I didn't. It was awful. I was like, talk about, like, it could have been such a fun, and I was just like, this is just crap.
Who wrote it?
Maybe it will get better.
Wait, it's continuing?
Yeah, it's five issues.
And you'll keep buying it even though you're
buying it. No, I don't know. I don't think I will. Fred Van Lente and drawn by Francis Portella. It just was very disappointing.
Are they running a casino in it?
No, but he's putting together like a team of supervillains to do
it. Was it very reverential of old Marvel villains?
No, it wasn't. And the artist was like ripping off Steve McNiven. It wasn't very good. But
yeah, he is. Wow.
The influence to getting this, not only my love of MODOK, but there was a Marvel Adventures that came out in 2006 that I saw recently. And Marvel Adventures is the non-continuity kids line. Where
you bought the Greg Gargoyle one.
I bought the Greg Gargoyle one with Spider-Man. That was great. Peter David wrote that. Yeah, but in this one, I don't know how. I didn't read the issue. I saw, but it was Wolverine, Captain America, Iron Man, stuff like that. Got all turned into MODOKs. it was just hysterical. So they're all with the big heads and the little bodies in their costumes.
He's waving his arms around stiffly.
It was great.
Right now.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway,
I wanted to really quick because we like to buy some different things every once in a while. I picked up Zero Killer number one from Dark Horse by Arvid Nelson and Matt.
Arvid.
He's the guy.
That's what happened to him.
He's the guy who did Rex Mundi, which a lot of people like, and I haven't had a chance to read.
I have the first trade. That's pretty good.
And so much like it. I mean, the thing is, I was like, okay, I gotta make sure that I give other stuff a chance, and I'm looking for it. Basically, it's a lot like DMZ. It's post-apocalyptic. New York is flooded. There are gangs.
Is Will Smith there?
No, but there's a mysterious spunky girl.
Is Kurt Russell there?
And then he may be later. The art in this is fantastic. It's all these shots of Manhattan wrecked and flooded. It's beautiful. The thing that stands out most is Dave Stewart's colors. It's a beautiful, beautiful book in that way. But I found.
Are you going to keep doing it or no? Because this could kind of be like Scalped, where you pan the first issue, drop it, and then everyone's really talking about it.
Well, it's the same thing I was talking about earlier with the order, is that it could. So far, this concept is really, really rote right now, and it feels like a combination of DMZ and something else I've read.
It's tough because it's
post-apocalyptic Des Moines, Iowa story.
Yeah, it's a good
like, somewhere else.
I'm really over post-apocalyptic stories right now.
It's tough because with so many books that there are so many books out there, so many books that you're committed to for on a long-term basis, to give a new book a shot and give it the time that it needs to develop. Because I bet you, we talked about Preacher, if you were reading it, Preacher in issues, the first trade of the first issue of Preacher, I know a lot of people who dropped it. Fables, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You drop, so...
I dropped Bendis' Daredevil.
Yeah.
At one point.
you're
so
crazy.
It's interesting. I mean, I think that... So it's fascinating.
I said this last week with Tech Jansen. The production on this book is awesome.
Oh, do you have... I want to see that, actually.
Yeah, okay. I'll give it to you later.
We're
big,
doing the
thick
show.
Page. Look, look at it. It's
ooh,
beautiful.
Nice.
I mean, like,
nice. Yeah.
They're putting all the love into this book, and I don't know.
And then you got to come and pee on it.
Yeah.
He actually did pee on it.
I hate
this book stinks.
I hate to say it. I don't even know if it stinks. It was just like
no,
because
you
is.
Peed on it. It smells like urine.
Right.
Yeah, all right.
I wouldn't.
It's kind of gross.
Move along.
So
I don't know. It got weird.
No, he didn't pee on it. That's all right.
So that's this week's books are in the bag now.
And what are they brought to us by?
They're brought to you by the Netflix, which is a place to go for movies. Netflix.com. Over 75,000 movie titles. There's no late fees. There's free shipping. You basically go there and you put the movies on a list and they send them to you free and you send them back and you keep as long as you want. It's fast delivery. The majority of the shipments are fast, apparently.
They are. No. I returned a movie on
Monday. Yeah,
you did.
You got it one day, yeah.
And I got it. The next movies were back in my mailbox on Tuesday.
Our regional center is in Flushing.
Mine was in White Plains, yeah. So it's
really?
Very close.
Well,
yeah.
So if you go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy, there's a 2-week free trial offer, and they offer plans starting as low as $4.99 a month. So awesome. Go there, check it out. We all love it.
What do you got?
I have The Good Shepherd, and I have Iron Giant, which I've still never seen.
Oh, I love that movie.
And I have Diner.
You. Cool. I know I have Scanner Darkly, and I forget the other two that just came in.
Yeah, I've had mine for 2 weeks, and I've got Pan's Labyrinth, which is just like, I know it's going to be four. I'm going to sit down and read. I know, I haven't watched it yet. And I have 2 discs of Gone with the Wind. I don't even know how that happened.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, do you like that movie?
I love Gone with the Wind. Okay. Yeah.
I've never seen it. And it's like the most financially successful movie of all time.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It is. Email time.
Anyway, all right, so let's dive right into the email. So Matthew writes in, and he says, please help with all this scroll business. For fear of being laughed out of the geekosphere for not knowing this, who slash what are the scrolls? Who slash what are the scrolls, and how are they connected to the Marvel Universe? Oh. I'm super enjoying all 4 Avengers titles, 4 if you count Illuminati, and I'm getting the sense that some really cool integration is taking place across a lot of books. The Avengers, all the initiative stuff, Nova, Annihilation, World War Hulk. But I feel like I'm missing some essential information which would make my enjoyment from super to mind-blowing. So please, if you would, the scrolls.
This is topical.
Very topical, because the scrolls are gearing up to be the big event of Marvel, the big thing that happens in the Avengers books in the Marvel.
0708 have probably take us through. You're the expert. I don't know much about
the scrolls.
They shapeshift.
The scrolls are an alien race. They were first introduced in Fantastic Four, and they were primarily Fantastic Four villains initially in the 60s. They are shapeshifters. What happened was, in the first story, they were impersonating the Fantastic Four, and they were subverting the Fantastic Four image to try to figure out a way to take over the Earth. Mm-hmm. And Fantastic Four busted them, turned the 4 Skrulls into cows.
Then later, the basically the other big alien race,
the Kree,
they're the warring tribes. The Kree Skrull War.
If you had to compare the Palestine Israel conflict to the Marvel Universe, that's the Kree Skrull War. They're always kind of warring.
Or the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Right. Yeah. and so the one of the things that came out of the Skrulls is that there was a Skrull called the Super Skrull, which had all 4 of the Fantastic Four powers. And then the Skrulls have always just whenever Marvel goes cosmic, it's the Shi'ar out of the X-Men universe, the Kree, which kind of come out of the Avengers, the Skrull, Captain Marvel was a Kree, mm-hmm. Then the Skrulls came out of Fantastic Four. So, and the Skrulls, they look kind of green, and they've
dermatology
got
dermatology problems on their chin.
Yeah, their chin's all wrinkly, and they got pointy ears.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they always want to take over Earth. The Skrulls are a warring race of people that always want dominion.
Well, they're
the chicks here.
They colonize. They go and take over.
And so other hooks in the Marvel Universe. Hulkling on Young Avengers is half Kree, half Skrull.
There's a Skrull on Runaways.
Runaways, yep.
Frank Gorshin, Star Trek.
There was a Skrull in Marvel Team Up. The Freedom Ring story.
I try to forget that one. Anyway, but so the Skrulls will just.
So if you wanted to read one good story,
Kree Skrull War. I think
it's an Avengers.
It's an Avengers. Well,
most
book,
recently,
yeah.
The Avengers Illuminati story.
Well, yeah, he wants some history on the Kree Skrull War.
If you read the Avengers Illuminati, that's pretty good. Kree Skrull War, and then and just anytime Skrulls are in Fantastic Four, it's just kind of that's kind of a good one to check out. So
all right, Russell or Rusty from Williamsburg, Brooklyn says, I have some questions about the Eisner Awards. Many people believe that the Grammys are worthless and irrelevant, the Tonys are too self-inclusive, and that politics and caste drive the Academy Awards rather than attention to quality and integrity. That said, how do you feel about the Eisner Awards? Are the nominees really the best of the best? Are the winners the cream of the crop? Have you seen any serious or glaring oversights the past years? He's also from Ithaca, where we went to school.
Woot.
No, I don't think it's driven by... I'm always, like, the... It's funny, it's a small panel of people, of judges.
Five or six people?
Yeah, like, we had some insight because we were James Syme from Isotope, who we're friends with, was on the panel this year.
Yeah.
So we learned a lot about how that works. That panel takes it very seriously.
Yeah, they do.
They hold up in a hotel room in San Diego for 3 or 4 days, and they poured over comics like you wouldn't believe. And they truly do try to pick the best of the best. Who the people...
No, I'm agreeing. Yeah.
Okay. Who the people want to then gets voted on? I know there's a problem in that regard because a lot of the retailers have ballots, and a lot of them just don't fill it out and send it in.
Yeah.
So it's how the decision of the winners. I'm
so it's
sure
the nominees. There's a lot of integrity in the nominee process. Yes. When you get to the winner circle, is the problem.
Yeah.
In theory.
And the other thing is, a couple of movies come out every week. you know, how many of those are going to be worthy of really much praise? Or, you know, comic books are coming out from everybody, and there's like there's a ton of comic books, yeah. and because it's I think 5 or 6 people on the nominating committee, you know, they can cover a lot of ground, but everybody's going to feel like, oh, you missed
this. There's
always
going to be something left out.
And it's so objective, you know,
I mean,
subjective.
The awards, yeah, awards, things like that are so tough. I mean, like, and it's a challenge.
You know what they do always do? They do a fantastic job on the, it's not called this anymore, but talent deserving wider recognition.
Yeah, they got rid
every
of that
time.
One.
They got rid of that category?
They got rid of it this year, and it was that panel because it was... It's kind of dickish. It's like, is the talent worthy of more recognition? It's like, well, you're good, but nobody really knows.
Well, they change the name or whatever, but that one, those books are always...
But you know what also it says? Like, what does it mean for the losers? Like, you don't deserve recognition, you know? Like, it's so... No, but you're right. They do a good job of... And like, for example, like, you know, I know it comes as no surprise, but like, they this year is the first year they introduced the manga section.
Mm-hmm.
And Cup Noodle is the leading nominee and that whole thing. You know,
do you really know
ago,
if it's leading?
I have no idea.
It's leading in our hearts and our minds.
Yeah. But what's interesting about the Eisners, though, is that historically, like, we, you know, they happen in San Diego, that Friday night, the whole industry pretty much goes. We don't normally go. I think you guys went one year, and it was kind of boring. Yeah. Although they are making an active effort to step it up. And, like, this year, Jane Wiedlin from the Go-Go's is handing out the awards. She's, like, the award presenter.
Was she, like, the bass player for the band? Or?
No, she's the guitar. She's the spunky guitar.
I don't know.
Oh, you know Jane? Oh, she's so cute from the Go-Go's. Oh, she's the one that was on went crazy on the VH1 show.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's supposedly a lot of fun. Thomas Lennon and Ben Grant from Reno 911 are presenters.
Really?
Yeah, there's a shitload of like celebrity presenters this year, and so I really think over the next couple of years they're going to try to make the Eisners kind of a bit more important.
Josh Lennon was very clubbish. It was very like, you know,
it was just a bunch of people we didn't know. Like, and now the Inkpot Awards, and it was really dry. And we were sitting behind Marv Wolfman, and he had a big Wolverine shirt on. It was just weird.
Right. No. So I mean, they are trying to change. They're trying to get
it
more.
It was really dry. It felt like it may as well have been like the Paper Merchants Awards. Like it just
there was not much personality. So that's the Eisners. We think they're pretty cool. We think they're pretty.
Yeah. I mean, I always the next day I want to know who won.
Look through the nominees and the winners, there's rarely things on there that you're like, oh, it's not like the Wizard Award, you know, like
the only time I ever felt disappointed was I thought Pedro and Me should have was never nominated. I thought that should have been nominated.
I think this year didn't Alan Moore get screwed of all people?
He did. Lost Girls didn't get anything.
Lost Girls didn't got Best Production, like Best Packaging. Oh. Yeah, which is true, but yeah. So
yeah. So if you've got an email, send it to contact@ifanboy.com.
So yeah.
Okay, and if you want to get any of those books you hear about of talent who deserve wider recognition, whatever they call it now, check at comichole.com, which is your best solution for discounted comics and trades. We've got all new Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image books, issues at 40% off. In addition to current comics, they've got a great selection of trades and hardcovers. Those are all 30 to 50% off, and there's more stuff coming in all the time. So go to comichole.com, let them know
iFanboy.
iFanboy sent you. They're good. Thanks.
Excellent. So, all right, so let's dive into the voicemail. We got one voicemail this week. And
we got more than one.
We got more, yeah. We're featuring one on the show this week.
Can we do this later?
And it's actually something that I was just talking about recently.
Hey, this is Jeff from Texas. I am a huge J. Michael Straczynski fan ever since he started on Amazing, and that was my first exposure to him, aside from Babylon 5. And then I was in the comic books earlier today, and I picked up Rising Stars just on a whim. Took it home, read it in a night, like off and on throughout the whole day, and went on Amazon immediately when I finished it and ordered the next 2 trades. And I'm wondering how I missed this. And I was wondering if there are any other gems that you've picked up like that, where you were kind of late on the boat on them and you picked them up and you were like floored by how fucking awesome they were. So let me know. Bye.
Well, you want to know how we missed it? You're about to find out.
Well, the reason why I've been talking about it recently is because my brother-in-law, who's not and doesn't read comics, he's a fairly normal guy, fell in love with Heroes this season.
Wait a minute, we're not Abdul.
Yeah,
I
let that go.
No. But I mean, you know, I'm not gonna get into
his
personality. You know him. I'm sorry. I'm assuming, you know, but I'm just trying to generalize it.
He doesn't read comics.
He's a guy.
And he loved Heroes, and he's saying, "Is there, you know, what's really like this?" And I really wanted to recommend to him Rising Stars, but I didn't. And the reason why is because Rising Stars was fucking awesome in that first
8
issues.
Yep. It's 8. Number 9 was the one.
And then it goes to hell. And the reason why you haven't heard about it is a combination of it goes to hell quality-wise, and also because J. Michael Straczynski and Mark Silvestri and Top Cow got into an argument, and...
It didn't come out for 2 years?
It didn't come out for... And what happened was, and why we're laughing about it, is because those first 8 came out, and remember we were ravenous for it?
We were in college, we're like, this is the best book ever!
This is amazing! Modern superhero! This is The Watchmen! And like, and then it was like a year until the next issue came out, and then it was like 3 months
until the issue. And that was like a wrap-up of... skipped ahead, and then it got very strange. I really don't think that the ending was bad, but I...
No, but I think by the time
it took too long to get to it.
There was so much negative vibes around it, and they switched artists around a lot, and they had a really bad production problem for a while where the art got just almost
muddy.
black and muddy and horrible. They finally brought on Brent Anderson of Astro City.
He was always on it.
To clean it.
No, there was a guy in the middle who was very
Christian. Oh, I remember the middle one. Right.
Yeah. You know, and it ended okay. It's still a great idea. It's everything, but those first 8... I love hearing your enthusiasm because I know that feeling and I love that feeling.
Right. So what other books have that you found that you didn't know about that you...
Well, Preacher was very much like that I didn't read it when it came out, and then when someone gave me the trades I was like, jeez, this is the best thing ever.
For me it was the Giffen DeMatteis McGuire Justice League. When I first got that, I remember I was like, this is amazing. Why didn't you tell me about this earlier?
I've done this a lot recently. I've been buying a lot more books, but when Connor got me the Captain America books for Christmas, I kept calling him like, why didn't I know about this?
I even feel as if Fear Agent fell into that.
That was my other one. Fear Agent definitely feels like that, and I was saying that. And then finally,
Fear Agent's very new. I'm talking about
Agent's been out for a couple of years.
Right, but like his thing is like, Rising Stars was 10 years ago.
Yeah, we all felt this one, Animal Man.
Yes, recently,
Animal Man. Whoa.
Yeah,
where the hell did that come from?
That was very, very good.
Yeah, although the thing is, I had always known. Is there anything you came across you didn't even know? Like, Animal Man I always knew was really good. I just never got around to reading it. He never even heard of Rising Stars. He accidentally bought it. That's a tough one. Fear Agent, I guess, fits because...
Fear Agent does.
Yeah, as Josh drops his mic.
Sorry.
I don't know. I mean, it's tough.
I think for a lot of people... You know, for a lot of people, Invincible probably feels like that.
Yeah.
In The Walking Dead, if you can get people to read it.
A little bit. Scott Pilgrim did for me because I was so late to the game on it, because I never even heard of it.
That's what's great about comics is that there's so many of these great stories out there, like little landmines.
I tell you what isn't.
What?
Sandman. For our longtime listeners, you might be aware of the fact that I did a little quick report. We're going to talk about this more in a later show, but I'm on volume 7 of Sandman of how many?
10.
So I'm doing my homework. If you all
so
don't,
he is reading.
Backstory is Rob would never read Sandman.
Doesn't want to.
He made a deal with Josh. He would read them. He's on trade 6.
I'm on trade 7. I just said 6. Yeah. Yep. So and you'll hear in a future show my thoughts. So anyway,
it's not going well.
Oh no. Anyway, so thank you, Jeff, for writing in, and good luck with the rest of those trades.
And where can he call us?
And if you want to leave a voicemail, you can call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. All right, so this is our pre-San Diego Eve show, as it were.
So this is going to come out to you people right before the convention.
Right, as we are. We will be in San Diego when this comes out, actually.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. You will.
Just be, yeah. So we're going out to San Diego for the whole week. We're taking a little vacation, and then we're going to hit the con.
Right.
So we got a whole bunch of things we need to tell you all about.
It's very moist in here.
I was hoping we'd get moist. We're not going to talk about how it's hot anymore, but humidity.
Look at my skin.
It's glistening.
He's all fruity.
Yeah, we have a bunch of events happening in San Diego.
Let's do the San Diego update.
All right, so let's go. First of all, we're going to have a party Friday night.
Indeed.
At the Club Basic or Bar Basic.
The place is called Basic. And the bar is Bar Basic.
So it's 8 o'clock.
It starts at 8 o'clock.
It's very basic there.
First 60 or so people to come get free drinks
or a free drink ticket.
A ticket to get a free drink.
You don't drink all night free. Let's be clear. Yeah,
you said
we drink all night free and we go nothing.
Good clarification. So you get a free drink ticket.
And it's going to be us and the Totally Rad Show and some other special guests will be there.
And
Dignation star Alex Albrecht.
And
he rolled his eyes at me. You couldn't see it, but you have to know because it's funnier that way.
And there's going to be a whole bunch of other folks coming to the party. And I know for a fact the Eisners are that night as well. The Eisners end at 10:30, and a lot of people know that this is kind of becoming the after party for the Eisners. So, or one of the after parties for the Eisners. So we're saying.
Right. So Thomas Lennon of Reno 911 will be at our party,
and Jane Wiedlin. She's hot.
Yeah.
So,
Josh, you're going to be on a panel.
iFanboy makes no guarantees about the presence of Thomas Lennon. I am on a panel Thursday evening from 5:30 to 7. It's the Comics Podcasting 1 Year Later panel. Last year we did a panel that was a whole lot of fun and was really successful. We had a bunch of different podcasters up there. We're going to do the same with some different people and some of the same people, and we're going to talk about the state of podcasting, what it is to be a podcaster and how to do it, and you know, we'll probably
try to stay away from the how to do it, because on Saturday, Ron and I are on the Comics Podcasting 101 panel, which is all about how to make
what
your
if
own
we cover
podcast.
Everything
and then we'll be very angry. You will cover how the state of podcasting, and we'll step on your toes,
and some
we're
of
the, on the same show guys
some of the guys from Comics News Insider will be on that panel with us as well, so it should be a good time.
Saturday
like, sometime on Saturday, 1 o'clock maybe.
It's
I don't
noon
know
30?
Suntress will be there.
It's not noon. It's like
it's
1.
Not noon.
I think it's 1:30.
Yeah. No, he's coming to that panel. I know he is.
We are going to try. We're going to try to do a live Pick of the Week podcast. It's not definite.
That's the big thing, is that we really want to do a live one after we had such a great time in Charlotte. With San Diego, it's a little harder to find a place to do it. We're working on where we can do it. So if you're interested in attending a live iFanboy show and you want to know if it's going to happen and where it will, go to ifanboy.com. We'll try to have that up. We should know by Monday or Tuesday of this week.
Right.
So just keep an eye on ifanboy.com.
Another way that we will notify people is that we will be Twittering.
Yes. If you go to twitter.com/ifanboy, you can keep abreast of our movements throughout the con, as we'll be giving little short bursts of where we're at,
and
where
you can
we're going.
You can get those on your cell phone as text messages.
Yeah. If you go to twitter.com, you can sign up. You can become our follower. And you can stay. You can experience San Diego through our eyes via the internet,
or creepily stalk us that way.
Exactly.
So, in the bathroom,
or look for us and ask us.
Yeah,
we'll be the ones.
Well, that's the thing. Is for people who are at the con, you can use Twitter to get an idea of where we're going, and where we're at. And for people who aren't at the con, you can kind of see what you know.
I can't wait till we get our first person in the back of the background of a shot, like going, "Hey, mom, hey."
In terms of the live show, we're going to aim for Friday.
Yes.
So if you see us Thursday. Or Wednesday night or Friday morning, you can ask us what we can tell you.
I have to carry my books around all day Friday.
And you can spot us because we'll be there with video cameras. We're going to be very kind of obvious.
The mic cube.
Our mic cube, look for that. As well as you might recognize us by seeing us on the video show.
Right.
And we're going to have stickers with us. So if you see us come up, the only way you'll get a sticker is if you come up and talk to us, and we'll give you a sticker.
Yeah, you got to earn those stickers.
And also...
Dance, boy!
And also, keep an eye out on ifanboy.com, because there might be some announcements for some other things you can get at the con of the iFanboy type.
So. And last year, we did weekly, daily shows, podcasts from the con, which we are not going to do this year.
Because honestly... They weren't that good.
It was us going, oh, we're tired, and we saw this panel.
But even if we don't do a live show, we will be doing a Pick of the Week show, like this show, from San Diego, that will come out Sunday night after the con.
Yep.
So,
also, we're probably going to record the panels and put those out, too.
Yes.
If you can't make it San Diego, you can still get a taste.
Live the magic. So. Yeah. and hopefully we'll survive. So and to make
it's gonna be fun. I'm excited. I really am looking forward to this.
Yeah,
I really am.
It'll be a lot cooler.
I'm surprised.
Shockingly.
It's gonna be a blast. So, all right, cool. So make sure you go to ifanboy.com. There's a post at the beginning in the beginning of the page in red with all of the information for San Diego, as well as the site. Just in general, a lot of great conversation going on this week. Check out the Pick of the Week. See what everyone else thoughts here.
You two are writing machines this week.
Good
stuff, people.
Yeah. So go to ifanboy.com.
Also, if you are a writer or an artist and you're looking for people to work on stuff together, on the forums at Revision 3, there is a thread. It's stickied at the top. I write, me, you write, draw, something like that. It's right at the top. That's the artist discussion thread. Go there. Talk to some of the people around there and get some more projects going. There's been some great, talented people.
You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 1-888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. You can do emails for the show, or just to talk about what we talked about.
You can do funny voices, skits, whatever. Yeah.
And make sure you check out every Wednesday our video show comes out Wednesday about 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can see that on ifanboy.com as well as revision3.com/ifanboy. And this week we are
back in the vault.
Going back in the vault for some of our favorite comics.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about that one, actually.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, so.
Not that we knew about it a long time ago. You could go to Frapper Map, which is frappr.com/ifanboy. You stick your pin in there, see where other people are. We're all over the world. It's really cool to just look at who's there, and we don't have time to tell you who's on it this week, so we'll do that later.
Social networking, myspace.com/ifanboy, comicspace.com/ifanboy, verb.com/ifanboy, and facebook.com, and you can search for ifanboy there.
Or us.
So you can, on all those things... You can be our personal friend. You can be iFanboy's friend. Just be our friend and say hello.
We like our friends. And if you are our friend, tell your friends about us. And you can go to podcastalley.com or go to iTunes or go to dig.com and dig us or all the various places where you talk about podcasts and recommend us. We'd appreciate it.
Or so. You can go to iTunes and leave a review for either this show or the video show.
Yep.
Some people heard the call.
Yeah.
There's some good reviews in there, and we're not even close to Around Comics yet. So what's up
get
with that?
Get a little momentum.
That's
so.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much to the people who left.
And if you like the show, you can donate some cash. You can go to ifanboy.com/donations or click on the donate box on the website, and you can send us some PayPal money or whatever you like and help the show out.
And please wish us luck in San Diego because we're going to need it.
Yeah.
It's going to be tiring.
If you see Ron on the floor, give him a hug.
Yes. Or buy me a cookie. That open call.
No cookies.
Whoever buys me a cookie wins.
You know what? No cookies for Ron.
I want a cookie.
You know what? If you see Ron with a cookie, take it away and run.
By the way, they're Mrs. Fields, not Sally Fields.
Sally Fields. When I was editing
that show, I laughed out loud.
They'd be cooler if it was Sally Fields.
It would be
cookies.
Much cooler. Like, she gave up on the acting, and she's like, I'm going to make cookies. You like my cookies. You really like my cookies. All
right. Oh, Jesus. That's how you kill a show right there. Oh. It's very humid. It's moist.
It is.
That's all for me. I'm Josh.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Ron, and we'll see you in San Diego.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.